evening and get to Genesis, Genesis chapter 26. Genesis chapter 26. I realize that our Sunday evening services often have a number of varieties, and I continue to appreciate the work of Pastor Caleb and my father as they preach for us once each month generally. You continue to pray as I strive to get that paperwork done, that writing. So that Lord willing will be done by the end of this year. That would be a real blessing, and trust it'll be an encouragement to hearts. You're going to hear some messages eventually, again, just so you know, as we get near the end of that work, as we'll run back to the book of Acts again and cover some things in an overall big, huge, broad picture. So thank you for your patience. I appreciate them filling in. So consequently, Sunday nights, obviously we have a lot of change up and so forth. So sometimes I have to take a little few minutes to remind you where we've been and where we're going, all right, in the book of Genesis. In chapter 26, we have seen in chapter 25 the birth of the two boys for Isaac. So we're through the life of Abraham, into the life of Isaac, and Isaac pleads with God for his wife, Rebekah, and the two boys are born, and we find at the end of the chapter, in the middle of the chapter, I guess close to the end, a significant point as we come to chapter 26. Remember, Isaac loved Esau. Rebekah loved Jacob. And that is a problem that's we're gonna have to face now as we have a final really long chapter, chapter 26, of an introduction to a problem that's going to really surface as we get into chapter 27. In chapter 27, we'll discover when we get there that Isaac wants to give the blessing. And remember, we talked about this. The blessing is Abraham's blessing. The blessing that God gave to Abraham that was then given to Isaac. And then Isaac wants to give it to Esau. Now, often in a normal home situation in that time, it was the father's prerogative to choose who he gave the blessing to. But Isaac didn't have that prerogative. He had already been instructed by the Lord. And you remember, before the boys were born, God had told Rebekah, there's two nations in your womb, and the elder will serve the younger. Those are critical truths that Isaac needed to heed. Isaac is, unfortunately, if I can put it that way, but realistically, is an example of those of us, many of us, that in our life struggle and have an ebb and flow in our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. So there's some moments in Isaac's life of amazing faith, and we're going to see a couple here tonight. And at the same moment, there's some really sad notes where he just isn't following the Lord or trusting the Lord. If we're honest with our life, often that's how we live too. Has it ever dawned on you, it's like you have some major victory where you sense the Lord has used you or the Lord has helped you conquer sin, and then it seems like you turn around and you stumble and fall into sin again? Has that happened to anybody besides me? Okay, it's like, whoa, that continual reminder that I am still struggling with my sin and I have a heart that tends to wander. As the songwriter put it, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave my father's love. Let us learn from Isaac. Now, what we're going to see here in this passage tonight in chapter 27 is something that is, we're going to end with a warning tonight. I'm just kind of giving you a precursor here so you understand where we're going, because I think Scripture ends with this deep warning. You see, when we neglect or choose to follow a sin regularly, what we might call in the words of the writer of Hebrews, our besetting sin, it does bear fruit. Remember, we're going to have him back. We just talked about him. Did Pastor Barba preach the message on the harvest with us? And the harvest never comes in the same season that you sow, you know. All right, it's a different season. We get that around here. You understand that. You put the seed in the ground, and next day it's not ready to be harvested. Often here, all right, you put corn in the ground in the spring. When is it that you harvest? Not till fall. You gotta wait all summer. Well, so true in our spiritual life. We often neglect to realize that we are planting spiritual seed every day. How we live our life out. And we're going to see born in the life of Isaac's family the harvest that he's planting throughout his life. And some of that harvest is really sad. And we're going to get that warning. So let's walk through the passage. Again, as we've done in many of the narratives, we'll read and stop, give you a couple points. I do have, Lord willing, if you're taking notes tonight, you'll end up with 4 points. I'll try to make sure I'm pointing those out as we go, plus several other side notes as well. Verse 1, chapter 26. And there was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. Now, I suspect that that first famine is the one that's recorded in chapter 12. So here we are, 14 chapters later, many years later. So there was another famine. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, under Gerar. Again, probably a different Abimelech than the Abimelech that Abraham interacted with numerous years before this point. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, now notice, here we have, just like in Abraham's life, God speaking directly to Isaac. What a precious gift. God giving his word to his servant Isaac. Then he said, go not down into Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. So here at the end of verse 2, we have a little bit of future direction. I'm going to continue to direct your steps, Isaac. What a wonderful promise, right? Follow me. So dwell in the land that I tell you of. But right now, verse 3, sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee and will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath. Key phrase here in this passage, I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. Now, we know in back in chapter 25, verse 11, Isaac is living near Kadesh Barnea, the well of Lahairoi. And so he's in the south of Israel, essentially on the way towards Egypt, but he's still in the land that God had promised to Abraham. And so now God in verse 3, and again, you're going to see the word bless come up several times in the chapter. God blessing, fulfilling his promise even to Isaac. And he promises, God says, I'll perform what I've promised to Abraham your father. And now notice this promise he gives again to Isaac. And I will, verse 4, make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven. The same words that he told to Abraham in chapter 15 and verse 5. Remember that wonderful chapter? To me, that's one of the standout chapters of the book of Genesis. This is the chapter where Abraham and chapter 15, where Abraham and God converse. They're talking with one another. We saw that God wants us to have a regular, faithful conversation with him. My walk with the Lord should not be something that just takes place just every once in a while. No, it's an ongoing conversation. Thus the New Testament command, pray without ceasing. I'm to be always interacting. So that's the same chapter that God again is quoting to Isaac. Essentially, we're offering Isaac, have this conversation with me. Live out your life in a faithful relationship with the Lord. And notice, I'm midway through verse 4, and will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Again, almost exact wording to the original Abrahamic covenant given in chapter 12, verses 2 and 3. These are some amazing promises. Wonderful joy. Verse 5, because that, now notice, here's why God is giving it to Isaac. And this should be a note of humility. Because that Abraham, he hasn't said here, because I've seen in your life, Isaac, the desire to obey and follow the Lord. But your father has. And here we find a prod, probably, from God towards Isaac. Isaac, follow me. Isaac, follow me. So because that Abraham obeyed my voice, and now he's going to list several words here that are similar to each other, but have a couple different innuendos, all right? Because he kept my charge. That's, Abraham seemed to always keep his guard up to not fall away from the Lord. He kept God's charge. I'm going to be faithful to the Lord. He kept my commandments. Those were the things that he was supposed to do. All right, God had given him some commands to do. He did them. You kept my statutes. These are the limitations. Some of it would obviously, in legal terms, the word statutes are the civil enactments that were made and so forth. Here, probably speaking of God in the commandments had given him something to do. In the statutes had told him, don't go there. All right, some limitations. You understand how, like in the Ten Commandments, we have limitations. Thou shalt not. Thou shalt not. Thou, you understand? Okay, so these would be like the statutes, the commands, or the things. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God. All right, there's the difference. And then my laws. Now, the word law is what, to the by the time of the writing of the book of Genesis, would be in the mind of the Jew a very word that's pregnant with meaning, in the sense that they understood that as the all the law of the Old Testament, the Torah, the books of Moses. Now, obviously, Abraham and Isaac here didn't understand that full sense, but it does speak to the fact that they were striving, Abraham was striving to let the Lord, Jehovah God, be his commander, his chief, all right? And he was following him. He was going to obey whatever God said, whatever his law was, all right? You have that in your house, all right? This is Dad's law. So, all right, same thing. God was going to, Abraham was submitting to God's law. So that's the comment made. And then it says, Isaac dwelt in Gerar. So he stayed there. Now, we see here that Isaac enjoyed the blessing of Abraham because of Abraham's obedience. So he's reaping the fruit of the life of Abraham. Now, if he would have put two and two together, he'd have said, oh, if I want my boys to enjoy God's blessing, maybe I should follow the Lord now. You see, he was an older man by this point. And he was reaping years later the blessings of Abraham's obedience. You see, Isaac's home was hurt because he resisted God's will. What was God's will for Isaac? The one thing that it's already been told to us, the elder shall serve the younger. And yet, what was Isaac's heart? He loved Esau. Warning, warning, all right? There's these small warnings here. So we have this mixed life of Isaac. He's going to stay where he belongs at the moment, but in his heart, there's still some struggles of can I be so bold as to say, rebellion against God's will? God had already revealed that there is to be one that is to have the blessing. Isaac should have loved both his sons and honored the younger, not the elder. But God's word has already given us his heart's love, and that was to the elder instead of to the younger. And the men, verse 7, of the place asked him of his wife. And he said, she is my sister, for he feared to say, she is my wife. Lest, said he, the men of the place should kill me for Rebekah, because she was fair to look upon. Now we see this amazing oops. Isaac had been given the promise of Abraham. Isaac was receiving the blessing because of his father's obedience. And now what does he do? He disobeys God. Yes, like his father had disobeyed. You thought he would have learned the lesson. Have you not learned, Isaac? He had not. And now this is not even a half lie. Remember, Abraham, well, she is my sister. She's the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother. Isaac can't say that. She was a cousin, but no way were they brother-sister. Parents, let me, because the scriptures give us a warning, and this is something that it's been, in a sense, a very sobering thought in my own mind as a father. Often our children live out in their life what we tolerate, and it becomes their standard, their norm. So, just to make it, hopefully make a simple application, but from something that we say, well, that doesn't really matter, but it does. So, you know, you're at the house, and men, what is it about men and noises? And we like to make all kinds of noise. So when we're eating a meal, we burp. All right? And how many of you husbands here have had your wife say, honey, the kids? It's like, we're at home, no one's around, can't we just relax? And, oh man, that was a really good steak. All right? And then, what happens? Well, little David Jr. is out with all of his friends and at the church potluck. And You know, there's this silent moment, and then there's a, did you hear that? And it's the preacher's kid.
Oh.
So what was, you know, just a little, I kind of let it slide in the home. All of a sudden, well, if dad does it, or worse, if mom does it, you know, hey, we can do it anywhere, anytime. Let's just be improper, all right? A small thing, and we kind of chuckle at that, but how much more so? So we fudge on God's law in our life a little bit. Let me now be specific. There are times in our homes where we allow into our homes in forms of entertainment, what we look at and so forth, that would be sinful. There's no way around it. Let's get past this scene or get past these bad words. And kids, you know. But that goes on. We kind of excuse it. We overlook it. Guess what the kids will be watching in 20 years? They'll be watching things that are far worse, and they won't have a conscience that says that, that pricks them, that says that's wrong. We see here lived out in the life of Abraham and Isaac, and I think it's for us to discern and to say, oh, Lord, help me. Now, does that mean I have to be an ogre of a father? No, but I better explain to them the truth and help. You must be dogged about the truth, because every heart has a propensity to turn away from the Lord. It's just the natural process. We want to turn away from God. And unless the truth of God's word hems us in, so moms and dads, hem it in. Stay faithful to the word. Teach them why that rule is there in your house. What's the value of it? Because you want to honor God in your life, and you want them to honor God in your life. So many applications there, but do know that you'll see the fruit of your errors that you've habitually done be bigger in the life of your children. So do all you can to walk with the Lord so your children don't follow suit. God's grace is obviously evident and abundant, and so there are sweet and numerous examples of children that are following the Lord in spite of their parents' disobedience and struggles. But they see a mom and dad that has a heart to obey in every way. Guess what? They'll have a heart to want to obey too. That's Exodus chapter 20. We'll get there, Lord willing, eventually as we get through Genesis and into Exodus, where God gives to the thousands of generations those that are righteous. Those righteous children follow suit. So be encouraged by this too, but also be warned. So verse 8, and it came to pass when he had been there a long time that Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked out at a window and saw, and behold, Isaac was sporting with Rebekah, his wife. Now, remember the word, there's a Hebrew play on words here, just so you know. The word Isaac, he makes me to laugh, all right? That's the meaning of Isaac, to laugh. The word sporting here is as well, as it's in root form, it's to laugh. If I can put it in proper and good English today, the king of Abimelech looked out and saw Isaac smooching with Rebekah. Does that put it in good terms, you understand, with being appropriate here, all right? And so Abimelech, verse 9, called Isaac and said, behold, of a surety, she is thy wife. And how sinnest thou that she is my sister? This is so plain. I would never be smooching with my sister. And not even when I was a little boy. It's like, she's got cooties. All right. So it's like Abimelech knew really well. Oh, wait a second. That's not brother, sister. That's husband, wife. All right. And Isaac said unto him, because I said, lest I die for her. And Abimelech said, what is this thou hast done unto us? One of the people might have lightly have lain with thy wife, and thou shouldest have brought guiltiness upon us. And Abimelech charged his people, saying, he that toucheth this man or his wife shall surely be put to death. Now again, I find this astounding. I don't know all of what was going on in Abimelech's life. We wondered with the Abimelech that interacted with Abraham, was he actually a worshiper of Jehovah God? And that same question comes to mind here. Did Abimelech, having interacted some with Abraham, had his father or his grandfather passed on those truths to his son who had learned about Jehovah God? But this man has a right Don't you touch that man or his wife, or you'll die. Now, is that not recorded in God's law many years later by Moses? What was the punishment for adultery? Death. Here's a Gentile king who is acting more in tune with God's law than Abraham's son. Shame on Abraham's son. May the world not have to rebuke us as Christians. They often do have a good sense of what you and I should do and not do. And don't rebel against that, believer. Use that to be a sweet testimony to them. They want you to not swear at them. They want you to not tell the dirty jokes at work. They want you to live a moral, right life. Now, they may hate it, in a sense, but they know a follower of God, there's almost this innateness in their heart to know that a follower of God does what's right. May we not mar our testimony like Isaac did with Abimelech. Then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. Now that seems totally incongruous to what just happened, right? What? What's going on here? Isaac sins, almost destroys his home. Abimelech, the Gentile king, has to rebuke him. And then what does God do? He blesses Isaac. Why? We've already been told why. Verses 4 and 5. So here we come to points number 1 and 2 at the same time. You ready? Point number 1. God keeps his word despite the unfaithfulness and inconsistency of his children. God keeps his word despite the unfaithfulness and inconsistency of his children. Now there is a wonderful hope there. I'm glad that God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday and today forever. That means I can always trust his word. Now, God had promised that he would bless the seed of Abraham, and he's going to do it. Not because Isaac was passionate in his obedience to the Lord. No, unfortunately, we've seen he's not. But God blesses anyway. So then, point number 2, and this must follow in this passage. God blesses because of who he is. He always keeps his word. His blessings are not necessarily his stamp of approval on who I am. I don't know how often I've had it happen in my life, but it's not just been a couple times, can I put it that way? Where a Christian who is living in rebellion to the truth of God's word says, I'm okay because look at the blessings of God in my life. And that's a wrong conclusion to God's blessing. God blesses because of who he is, not because of who I am. Now, you say, well, is there not in Scripture truths that say, if I walk a righteous life, the Lord will be with me and help me and protect me? Yes, there is. But God often, because he loves you, because he was willing to die for you, did we not just remember that? Don't make the wrong conclusion that just because God's blessing, that means everything must be right in my life. No, no, no. God is gracious. He's a good God. His blessings are grace, not reward. You understand that? Can I say that again? His blessings are grace, not reward. I don't get God's blessing just because I've earned it, right? That's true in salvation. It's true in our walk with the Lord. My life is utterly tainted by sin. Until I reach glory, I'm tainted. So the truth is any blessing of God in my life says something about my God, not about me. May my life be consistent with his goodness. May I find myself passionately following the Lord. What does Paul remind the Athenians? The blessings of God lead you to repentance. Not to say, look at me, I'm so good. No, I can do whatever I want. God's blessing, it's okay. No, don't be a fool. The wages of sin is death. The blessings of God are His grace. So we find here that it seems, like I said, almost absurd that the Lord would, verse 12, bless him. But he's keeping his word. He's keeping his promise to, Abraham. Even though Isaac is, in a sense, saying, God, let me test this out. Let me see. Are you going to really bless? I'm going to live in rebellion to your truth. Will you bless anyways? And God would. God's going to keep his word. Aren't you glad? How many of us would lose our salvation if God didn't keep his word? Does that make sense? So let's be grateful for that. All right, let's hasten on then. And so the man waxed. This is the continuing blessing. Notice again the word blessing in verse 12. So talking about Isaac, and the man waxed great. There was much gain going on, and went forward and grew until he became very great. All right? The word went forward. It talks about his wealth grew. It was more and more. Another way to put it, he went and went, or he goes and goes. God just seems to superabundantly bless him. For he had possession, verse 14, of flocks and possessions of herds and great stores of servants, and the Philistines envied him. So, what they did in envy was, all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham his father, the Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth. All right, out of envy, the Philistines were trying to slow this guy down. Well, you need water to sustain flocks and herds, right? And people. So they stopped plugging the wells. They dumped rocks and dirt and everything in there. Right? They were trying to slow this guy down. They were jealous. They were envious of his wealth. Now, this plays, just so you know, God, he's an amazing God. This is going to come back to, again, be a testimony to the Lord, even though Isaac is struggling his walk with the Lord. So Abimelech said unto Isaac, go from us, for thou art much mightier than we. All of a sudden now, Isaac's source of income and security in his herds and flocks are put into question. He's got multiple herds, multiple flocks, and now he's supposed to go someplace. Well, you're dealing with desert land. You don't just pick up and walk away. You lose everything, and he's done. We find here God didn't give up on Isaac. Aren't you glad? I am glad, because it tells me that he won't give up on me when I'm living in sin against my God. And so we have now an opportunity for Isaac to live by faith. And guess what? He does. Praise God. Isaac's, okay, I'm going to trust the God that promised to bless me. So Isaac departed thence and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. He walked away from the Philistines, but continued to trust the Lord and dwelt there. And so what did Isaac do? He digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called the names after the names, their names after the names by which his father had called them. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. Now, just a moment here. We find in Scripture, in the Old Testament here, especially in the narrative of the Genesis, that it appears as though whenever it's speaking of wells, that it's often focusing on God providing blessing to his children. We notice down in verse 26. I should tell you verse 26, but we're going to get there, so I'll come to that. But again, God provides, on the day of blessing, God provides another well that's open. So God himself seems to connect in the story his blessing with giving of water through the wells. And so we find here God taking care of Isaac. Isaac left what he had, all the means of sustenance, goes out, finds the wells, digs them, is able to survive, and God gives him a blessing. So they dig, and guess what happens? Oh, well, verse 20, and the herdmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdmen, saying, the water is ours. And he named the well Esek, because they strove with him. That word Esek means to be contentious or dispute or challenge. So he's moving away from the Philistines, but the herdsmen of Gerar, which are Philistines, are still kind of after him. You know, hey, that's ours, that's ours. So he's still within the reach of the Philistine power, so he has to continue to move. So verse 21, they digged another well, and those herdmen strove for that also. And he called the name of that Sitnah, another word that means strife or opposition. Ah, is God going to ever take care of me? He keeps on moving. Verse 22, and he removed from thence and digged another well. For that they strove not. Ah, and he called the name of that Rehoboth. And he said, for now the Lord, notice that, his attention is on the Lord. He's been through enough contention and problems and oppositions and strife. His attention is back on the Lord. Isn't God good? So Isaac's struggling with his sin. God puts a test of faith in his life. Get out of here. Get away from all. It's like, oh, no, what am I going to do? So he starts leaving. He's trying to find a well that he can stay at and take care of the herds and the flocks and obviously feed himself. Finally, it's like strife. It's like finally he finds a place to live at. In fact, the word Rehoboth means room, or this is interesting to the American ear, living room. Now, it doesn't mean that all of a sudden he built a house there, but he had room to live. There was no one fighting. God prospered Isaac and gave him living room, a wide place for which to have his herds. So as we see there at the end of verse 20, for now the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. And so then, it seems as though he struggles again. What an amazing, I don't know if you ever found in your life, it's like you go back and forth. You have a moment of victory, and then you struggle with your sin again. And so verse 23, and he went up from thence to Beersheba. Well, God had just given him living room. And he walks away. And the Lord appeared unto him in the same night, verse 24, and said, I am the God of Abraham thy father. Fear not, Isaac, I'm with you. I will bless you. I will multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. So you see, Isaac had seen the Lord work, but it appears he can't trust God's great power and God's good care. So he moves all the way back to home base, and then he has to receive assurance from the Lord that God is still with him. I will help you. Trust me. To Isaac. And so there's both an assurance and yet a call to faith again in Isaac's life. And guess what happens? Verse 25. And he built an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord and pitched his tent there. And now notice this connection. And there Isaac's servants digged a well. God's blessing again. So he humbly worships the Lord, follows the Lord, comes back to the Lord, and God blesses, gives them a well of water. Proverbs 24, verse 16. For a just man, get that reference down right here. Proverbs 24, 16. It's a great parallel passage. For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked fall into mischief. Believer, if we stopped right here, we would be encouraged to say, all right, Isaac, you're stumbling, you're struggling, but he's gotten up again. He's following the Lord. Do know that you're going to face continual struggle with your sin. Don't let it destroy you. Let the Lord help you. Cling to his word. Fear not. I will bless you. I will be with you. The Lord gives you that promise as well. So then, point number three. God is amazingly patient with his child. He is ever merciful. The theme of the entire Old Testament, if you could wrap it up in a sense in one sentence, is God is merciful. And here we see it lived out in the life of Isaac. If one of us would have been his guide, we'd have said, get out of here. I'm done with you. I bless you, and you just go your own way. Trust yourself. Do your own plan. Not God. Aren't you glad? God is patient with us. He's always merciful. And I rejoice. So this story really is telling us much about God. Not so much about Isaac. So let's hasten now to the end of the chapter. Verse 26. Then Abimelech went to him from Gerar. And Ahuzath. One of his friends. That was like would be the chief counselor or one of the main counselors that Abimelech had. And this is fun, just for a little bit. The actual Hebrew pronunciation of this word is pie coal, like a pie of coal. All right, that just sounds, looks, the images, you know, in my mind are kind of funny. All right, never mind. All right, we'll keep on going. Pie coal, all right? The chief of the captain of his army. So we have the army official, commander-in-chief of the army, the king, and the king's chief counselor. And they come to Isaac. And Isaac said unto them, wherefore come you to me, seeing that ye hate me? I'm your enemy. They just sent him away. And they said, verse 28, we saw certainly that the Lord was with thee. And we said, let there be now an oath betwixt us, even betwixt us and thee, and let us make a covenant with thee, that thou wilt do us no hurt, as we have not touched thee, and as we have done unto thee nothing but good, and have sent thee away in peace, thou art now the blessed of the Lord. So, we find interesting here, Abimelech avoids the charge directly that you're my enemy, and he acknowledges that Isaac had been blessed of the Lord, and points out that he has not, in this process, he has at least not hurt Isaac. Though the herdsman struggled and had strife with him, Abimelech did not do that. And he says, I want peace with you. You see, believer, the world notices God's blessing on his children. God wants us to use that notice, that good testimony, not only for a peaceful relationship, but for a testimony of our Lord. How often in your life has someone said, why are you so happy? Why is it that you try to always get along? You know, that guy down the line, he hates everybody around here. Why do you try to get along with him? Opportunity. Tell them about your good God. You see, Abimelech had noticed not so much Isaac, but he had noticed Isaac's God. Then he said, I want to be at peace with you because I see, I don't understand it all. Of course they didn't understand it all. Isaac was struggling. But I want to be at peace with you because God blesses you. All right? Take every opportunity. Live your faith wide open before the world. Don't hide, Christian. You're a light on a hill. Let it shine. Don't hide your God. And let him not see you in the sense, let him see your God. And be that sweet testimony. So, verse 30, and made them a feast, and they did eat and drink. And they rose up betimes, that's an old English word for early in the morning. So they're like many of you, they got up with the sun, all right? Rose up betimes in the morning and swear one to another. And Isaac sent them away, and they departed from him in peace. Shalom. He granted them that wonderful peace. And it came to pass the same day, notice, that Isaac's servant came and told him concerning the well which they had digged and said unto him, we have found water. Here we go again. The connection of God's blessing and God's goodness at the moment that Isaac does what's right and good. And he called it Sheba. Therefore the name of the city is Beersheba unto this day. And we've already seen this. It's curious that we've already talked about this city in the life of Abraham. But again, we find God's blessing here. Was it a second well? I don't have all the answer, but I will tell you this. Here we see as well Isaac acknowledging that God has promised and is keeping his oath. That's the word Sheba, oath. And God was keeping his promise to Isaac. What a wonderful, again, acknowledgement by the Lord. And so finally, verse 34. And here we come to our final point. And Esau was 40 years old when he took to wife Judith, the daughter of Beeri, the Hittite, and Bashemath, the daughter of Elon, the Hittite, which were a grief of mind unto Isaac and to Rebekah. The word grief of mind here, it's a really picturesque word. If I could put it into the English the best I know how, life smelled bitter to Isaac and Rebekah. Why? Because Esau was not in any way wanting to follow the Lord. He married women of that country. He was corrupting God's good seed. You see, this was an evil foreboding, a sad reminder. It was, in all reality, an affirmation of God's prophecy to Rebekah a prophecy that Isaac should obey. God had blessed Isaac several times throughout this chapter. We end the chapter on this wonderful cliffhanger, if I can put it this way, this wonderful mystery. Isaac, Isaac, God's kept his word. Will you keep his word? So point number four, be warned. You see, Abraham had been willing to offer his son Isaac in an offering to the Lord. Abraham sacrificed his son. Unfortunately, we're going to discover that Isaac clung to his son. His son was his idol. Even when that idol, verses 34 and 35, brought bitterness of life to him, he would not give up his idol, Esau. No wonder God warns us, and here's the warning point number four. Keep yourself from idols. 1 John chapter 5, verse 21. If you want to avoid a bitter life, a life that brings grief to your soul, follow God. You see, Isaac had a wrong view and application of God in his life. God seemed to be to him his father's God. And he seemed to be hesitant to obey God's word. He loved God's promises to him, God's word to him, the blessings of Abraham. He cherished those, and he followed him here and there. But in the most important point of his heart, where he worshiped, God was still not on the throne. And so there's going to be grief ahead because he chose to cling to his idol, Esau, instead of obeying his God, Jehovah. Be warned, believer. Be sure your sin will find you out. The wages of sin is death. What you reap, you will sow. I'm sorry, what you sow, you will reap. I'm glad you caught that. May we take the warning from Isaac's life, and we're going to see it in living color here in the next couple chapters, and be willing all the way through to follow God. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this example from the life of Isaac. I hope that the people caught that we can often relate to the life of Isaac. Many of the heroes of the faith we sometimes put on a pedestal because we think them beyond the ability to sin. Well, Isaac, who is a hero of the faith, yet he, like us, struggled immensely with his own sin. May we learn from his example and not follow in his footsteps in life. May we give up our idols and let only God be the God of our hearts. Thank you, Lord, that you keep your word. Thank you, Lord, that you're patient. Thank you, Lord, that you love us. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. We have a wonderful God who often blesses us, not because of who we are, but because of who he is. Believer, will you follow him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? Maybe tonight you'd say, Pastor, and I realize this is a hard question, but I think it's an appropriate invitation. Is there an idol in your life? Oh, you follow God some, but the idol seems to keep coming up. Maybe tonight you'd say, Pastor, God, by his Spirit, through his word, is pricking my heart. And there's an idol that I need to get rid of in my heart and life. Believer, know that we all struggle with idols in our heart. We need to live in utter, utter abandonment to our wonderful God. Follow him always. Always doing his will, not just part-time. Maybe tonight you'd say, God's bringing some conviction. There's an idol I need to get out of my heart. Pastor, would you pray that God would help me to give up my idol? Any believer would say, that's my need tonight. Yes, amen. 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 Yes. Amen. Yes. are here tonight without Christ. We preached the salvation message very clearly this morning. I trust that your heart is open to it if you're not here with the Savior tonight. Could I pray for you? Say, Pastor, I need to get saved. My whole life is an idol away from God. Could I pray for you right now? I'd say, Pastor, that's my need. Pray for me. Lord, you're doing some work here tonight. I don't understand it all, and maybe I'm grateful that I don't. Many hands. Would you keep us from idols? Help us to love our God. May we not follow in the steps of Isaac here. But may we, with wonderful joy, deep passion, let you be the God of our life. May we follow you always in every area. Lord, if there's one here tonight without the Savior, draw them to thyself. It's in your name we pray. Amen.